Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Coming up on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM, your fantasy football questions answered with Chris Liss of rotowire.com. We'll talk Maryland Terrapin football and UNI Media Day today up in Cedar Falls. Also, a look back at this morning's baseball. All that coming up and more on the Gym Class on KGYM. And welcome in here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Great edition of the show coming your way today as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, locally owned and operated, where you're practically home if you're at Third Base. Stop on by, sign up to become a member of the Third Base Mug Club. For $25, you get a lifetime membership of happy hour price beers and a free appetizer with every $100 you spend on food and drinks. Join up today. Tell them Scott, Mark, Kyle, everybody at KGYM sent you. We do appreciate that. I think a lot of people getting through their Wednesday on little sleep today, Mark. Did you make it to Wednesday morning watching baseball or listening to baseball?
Very nearly, but I went to bed after nine innings, and it was already midnight or after. What'd you tell me? Nine innings lasted more than 4 hours.
It was 4:20-ish, somewhere in there, and a 1-1 game.
Mm-hmm.
Well worth it, though. Well worth it. A lot of strategy played out last night, and game went 13. I got through 11 before I couldn't keep the old peepers up anymore and had to catch up on it this morning. But what a game it was, at least through 11. And then Bellinger comes through with the RBI in the 13th inning as the Dodgers tie up the Brewers at 2 games apiece in the National League Championship Series with a quick turnaround. About an hour from now, it'll be game number 5. We'll keep you updated on that during local programming with the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. And then we've got game 4 tonight between the Astros and the Red Sox from Minute Maid Park in Houston. And we've got that for you tonight, 7 o'clock with the pregame, all three frequencies, with the first pitch scheduled for about 7:39 coming up tonight. Charlie Morton, I believe, against Porcello in that one with the Astros trying to knot that thing up again.
A lot of talk today about the incident at first base between Manny Machado and Jesus Aguilar. On the text line, feel free to weigh in, 319-366-1600. It's also our phone line. Kyle Mann, our producer, once again today. 7508, Machado, dirty play, no respect.
It's our poll question, like you mentioned, at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
It is at KGYMradio.com. Has Manny Machado hurt his value in free agency? Yes or no?
Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. Anybody that plays baseball or has played, we've all played baseball. You've run down the first base line a million times from the time you were 8 years old to the time you're done playing baseball or softball or whatever the case may be. And yes, I know at the lower levels they have the safety base. Not talking about that, but even without that, we didn't have the safety base when we were playing.
No, you played second base. I was a catcher in my day, and I don't know that there were any particularly dirty plays, good baseball plays against me, but Machado's was a clear
that was a dirty play
trip. Kyle Mann.
Yeah, I just don't think – do you guys – can you guys think of any way at all that what Machado did last night is defensible? He just it just seems like one of the dirtiest things that you could possibly do.
And I thought Aguilar handled it really well. Confronted him, but then kind of backed off and didn't really escalate the thing.
That's kind of the one thing that we haven't gotten yet today is after Aguilar gets a chance to see that replay, because you heard how mad his Brewers teammates were after they got a chance to see the replay and talk to reporters about it after the game. I want to know what Aguilar thinks now that he's seen it, because it is clearly, like, people don't run like that. People don't step on first base like that. Machado's been playing baseball his whole life. He knows how to hit first base, and you don't drag your leg like that. Like, it was completely intentional. And clipping somebody's ankle like that,
could have hurt him.
He could have broke Aguilar's ankle.
Yeah, could have hurt him.
Machado's had over 4,000 plate appearances in his career. And what, probably better than a quarter of those he's ran down to first, probably a half or more.
I think he can handle it.
And the other thing with this is Machado, I actually did the sports view today, and I made a small comparison between Machado and Perfect. Vontaze Burfict, because Machado is putting together a pretty bad resume. I don't know. You guys recall back in 2014, this is a guy who literally threw his bat at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's same guy. He spiked Pedroia last year. You know, Machado is hurting people. He's putting people in danger, and it's just it is the worst thing happening in baseball.
Good question on the text line. Will there be retaliation today?
I don't think there will be.
Because it's the postseason?
It's
the
postseason.
They'll save it.
It's the postseason, and the Brewers don't want to run the risk of having Jesus Aguilar or whomever, one of their pitchers, have to sit out for the rest of, you know, a game of this series or a game of the World Series if the Brewers happen to get there.
Machado has been fined an undisclosed amount,
yes,
according to Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah, as well he should have at the time. Does it hurt him? He's a great player. There is no denying the fact that Manny Machado, top 10, top 15 player in Major League Baseball, talent-wise, and he's on the free agent market. But like our question asks, our Emil's Hideaway poll question, does this hurt his free agency for next year? A lot of big teams are looking at him as a guy to come in and be that final piece to try to put them over the top and get them ready for the 2019 World Series.
Because of last night, would you not want your team to pursue Machado if it had a chance?
319-366-1600. Let us know. And also, if you caught the end of the game last night.
On the text line, 8083... maybe Machado doesn't know how to run to first. Remember, he isn't Johnny Hustle.
He said that to one is cup of tea, man. Not my cup of tea.
7508 correction. Didn't run down there a million times. Usually walked back to the dugout.
True.
9136 was hoping the Cardinals would make a run for Machado. I know a long shot in parentheses, but not anymore. Really? That's going to prevent you from going after him?
Well, you got to take
everything. It was a lousy play, okay?
You got to take everything into consideration.
I'm a Twins fan. Remember when Herbeck grabbed Ron Gant?
Picked him up.
I mean. It
wasn't going to hurt him, though.
Call it dirty or not, but.
Didn't hurt him.
As far as a Twins fan, I loved it, but.
Set him
baseball
down gently.
Fans hated it.
Set him down very gently, Mark, back in the day.
Was it Ron Gant? Yeah, I think so.
I think I'd have to double check. It was one of the Braves, I know that, back in that World Series run that the Twins and Herbie had back in that date. 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in. We do appreciate that. And that is the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. That is also, of course, our phone line at 319-366-1600. It was a great game. Cody Bellinger making a headlong diving catch in right field, where he has not played in a whole lot. And that was a brilliant play against Lorenzo Cain that potentially saved the ball game, if you will. That started off one of the innings there late in the ball game.
There's been some really good defensive plays. The Houston-Boston game, which Boston ended up winning going away, there's some very good defensive plays in that game as well.
And, of course, when people around the country are talking about baseball today, did you know the NBA started last night, Mark? All they are talking about is Manny Machado and the fact that the game took about 100 years to play. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here at 13 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. So we got baseball, you and I, media day today, and the Panthers. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up next week at Big 12 Media Day. He was up there today, and Ben Jacobson maybe turning over a new leaf a little bit. Yeah, the Panthers are going to play defense, but Coach Jacobson said today, do not be surprised if UNI runs a lot of four guard and a small lineup, four guards and a very mobile center in there for a lot of their play this year. A.J. Green's going to change the whole look of this team.
No hesitation. He's the starting point guard.
I don't think there's any doubt, A.J. Green. First top 100 commitment, first 100 prospect UNI has ever brought in as far as basketball is concerned. And, yeah, he's going to be thrown out there, thrown in the starting lineup right away.
More texts about Manny Machado on the Hertin and Stocker Jeweler text sign. And at 2819, Cardinals fan here, I think they still go after him. Darren at 8092.
Because you can always think in the back of your mind, well, we can change him. We can change him.
Are those people saying they wouldn't want Babe Ruth because he was he was one of the dirtiest players in history?
Ty Cobb, somebody like that in the day. Now that was different baseball back then, but I get the point.
48-15, dirty play by Machado, but it won't affect him at all. And funny that a Cardinal fan would say they wouldn't take him.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. 91-36, combination of those plays and hustling not being his quote-unquote cup of tea, no thanks.
Yeah. Keep them coming, 319-366-1600. Also, we had the two Iowa tight ends with the John Mackey, sharing the John Mackey Weekly Award. The Davey O'Brien Award for the week was given out today, and that goes to Nate Stanley, the Hawkeye quarterback, after his 6-touchdown performance against Indiana last Saturday.
Well, a nickname for those two guys is coming, and Mark Morehouse is going down that road. Mark from the Gazette tweeting Stokes and Payne.
The Twin Towers.
Known as the Twin Towers.
Boy, we're going back, aren't we? That's my wheelhouse right there with Greg Stokes and Michael Payne. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Emily Giambalvo from the Washington Post. She covers the Maryland Terrapins. We're going to talk with her, and then we're going to talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com as well coming up in a little bit. We were talking about Nate Stanley, but to flip it over and to talk about the defense, we got Craig in Cedar Rapids on line one to discuss the Iowa defense. Hi, Craig.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, guys. As well as our defensive secondary is covering back there, and those guys have been doing a bang-up job the last couple of weeks covering, do you think Norm Parker might want to throw in a few more blitzes or two with linebackers as we go on to this late stretch in the season?
Yeah, I know you meant Phil Parker there, but that's a good point. Coverage sacks often lead to advantageous situations for defensive coordinators, and Phil Parker may well dial up a few more, but what's working now, why change, right?
Very true, very true. It looks like we're just really starting to gel on defense. The defensive secondary has came alive, and, you know, just thinking in terms of creativity, especially when we play Penn State, it kind of just crossed my mind.
Right.
Maybe a few more blitzes or two, you know what I mean?
You bet.
Situational blitzes, I think you could see that.
We probably haven't seen the whole package.
No. And Hooker, of course, moving up, playing a little bit of linebacker, a little hybrid, if you will, safety linebacker right in there. So that's a little bit of a different page turner there for the Hawkeye defense.
It's a good observation, Craig. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Craig. Thanks for the call. 317 here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Iowa, Maryland coming up on Saturday. Homecoming in Iowa City, and we just talked a little bit about the Hawkeyes. We're going to hear about the Maryland Terrapins. Maybe a tumultuous week with DJ Durkin's fate may be determining on Friday. We'll see how that plays out. But we're going to talk about that with Emily Giambalvo, who covers the Maryland Terrapins for the Washington Post. We're going to do that when we come back. 318 on the Gym Class. Back with more after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Sports and rock and roll are a great combination. KGYM and Smart FM go together like a great offense and a great defense. Like a perfectly timed slant pass and a great mix of classic rock. To get you ready for the big game, all the analysis of the week's biggest contest from UNASH and Dukes, Todd Brommelkamp with Alex Kuhn, and all the great smart rock from Smart FM for your tailgate. It's a great combination. KGYM and Smart FM.
This is the Jim Scott Unash. Get ready for Marion football action Friday afternoon at 3 during the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. Back with you on the gym class here at KGYM at 3:20 on the Wednesday edition of the show. We'll have a Bowling Night in America preview as well coming up. As we get back to the lanes coming up tonight, late substitution. More on that as well coming up in just a little bit. I'm going to talk with Emily from the Washington Post and get a little bit of information on the Maryland Terrapins. A very interesting team on the field, Mark Dukes. They got a lot of speed, a lot of skill players that are very, very talented that will come into Kinnick Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, Terps stand 4-2 and what I can't understand is how it opens the season against Texas and wins 34-29, the Longhorns' only loss of the season. Two games later, lose at home to Temple by 21 points.
Temple is 3-0 in the AAC, by the way. Just throwing that out there. Just throwing it out there, Mark.
It's no Texas, though.
No. Yes, and as far as the Longhorns are concerned, that is the only blemish on their record right now. We're going to talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit as well, as the 4-2 Terrapins will come into Kinnick Stadium on Saturday, and they will be the homecoming opponent for the Hawkeyes. That will be an 11 o'clock kickoff coming up on Saturday. We've got Before the Boom at 9 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Is set to join us from the Washington Post, Emily Giambalvo, who covers the Maryland Terrapins for that fine paper. And Emily, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And you probably are asking yourself and the rest of the Maryland folks the same question we are. What Maryland team is going to come to Kinnick Stadium on Saturday?
Yeah. It's definitely been a very confusing season with they beat Texas and then they lose to Temple and then look mediocre at other times, and it's all up and down. So it's been very inconsistent so far.
Tell us about this running game that Maryland has. It has been able to gain yardage over 100 yards against every opponent, including Texas and Michigan and whatnot. Tell us about the components of that running game.
Yeah, the run game's been really great this year, and I think one of the most significant parts of it is that 15 different guys have carried the ball, and that's definitely a Matt Canada thing to do, and he loves to spread the ball all around and use the jet sweeps and get receivers involved in running the ball. And I know a receiver and a tight end have also scored touchdowns running the ball this year, and Ty Johnson really has the ability to just break free and run for 50 plus yards. Anthony McFarland has also been super explosive. They've had a couple injuries. Lorenzo Harrison's done for the year with an ACL, but they have just a large group of running backs who can all do well against most defenses. But I know Iowa might change that.
Well, it's a Maryland team, Emily, that's got a lot of good skill people, like you mentioned, just up and down the line. And that's what makes Maryland a very dangerous football team.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because it's with a defense like Iowa, I'm just not sure what they'll be able to do. But it seems like it could be one of those games where maybe they're not able to gain 3-4 yards every single play, but if they can break free for a few of these explosive ones, then maybe that is how they try to knock off a ranked team. So I think that might be the key for them.
Well, Emily, we'll get into the DJ Durkin situation here in a minute, but curious how Matt Canada, his approach might be different than DJ Durkin's, or how this team has responded with so much early season adversity.
Yeah, it's without question a very unusual and difficult season, I'd imagine, for the players who lost a teammate and friend, and then the fact that there has been so much ensuing controversy about who should be held accountable. Matt Canada seems to be doing a great job with leading the team. I've talked to a lot of the players he's coached at past stops, and he does seem to be a guy that people buy into. He's likable. From the outside looking in, just as a member of the media, he's been very professional, never loses his cool, and just handles things well. The one thing that is interesting is he's very adamant that he is still the offensive coordinator. He will not declare himself a head coach figure, which makes sense. It seems like maybe it's a respectful thing to do until it's all figured out. But then you also wonder if the team could be lacking having that central figure. And maybe that's why there's so many penalties, things like that. And it's just hard to know. But for the most part, I think he's done a great job. And he seems to be a good offensive coach. There just right now isn't that one guy that the team can look to in a way.
Yeah, and you mentioned doesn't put himself in that head coaching role. Now, I know the Maryland Board of Regents are going to meet on Friday, and who knows what's going to happen if something is going to be announced on that day, or it's going to be pushed back a little bit further as far as the investigation is concerned. But I'm sure that's going to weigh a lot on the players' minds if something big does come out on Friday.
Right, and it was the same way for the Minnesota game the Friday before. Obviously, these Friday news dumps are maybe good for business, but not for a football schedule, because then at the Minnesota game, you had them playing about 16 hours or so after they released the first report, which was the one that looked into McNair's death specifically. And then the one on Friday is the one that is looking into the culture of the program. And we've all seen there have been numerous allegations of just a really toxic culture with bullying and possible abusive behaviors that have been reported. And that's what this one's looking into. And personnel changes could come as a result of this report, both reports, but we just don't know when those could be or if they will be this Friday. And I imagine the players and staff are kind of dealing with that same uncertainty in terms of having to play a game when you know, it's week, this is the seventh game of the season, and nobody knows who the coach is going to be. And, you know, they, when asked about it, they just say they're sticking together and they're taking it a day at a time. But I think any person can reasonably say that much of uncertainty could very well be taking a toll on the players.
So are you coming to Iowa, or are you covering that?
Yeah, I'm coming to Iowa. We have a couple other people dealing with that on Friday.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Friday news dump, and everybody. Hey, it happens here many many times, but it seems like that's kind of the way it goes in 2018.
Right, and it's just is funny though, because when you think about a football schedule and you got noon games, and maybe not the most convenient thing in that way of looking at it, but yeah.
What has Matt Canada had to say about his particular concerns about Iowa?
He mentioned Nathan Stanley, and I think Iowa has shown that they have a great pass game this year. And then obviously you've got to look at the run defense. And like we just mentioned, Maryland has thrived off the run this year. And when you're going up a defense like that, Iowa could very well take away that piece of the offense. And then I think you've got to start looking at Maryland's passing situation. And Matt Canada has been adamant that he's not concerned about the lack of a pass game, which we have really yet to see. I think that Texas win was one of the games where you did see Kasim Hill had a pretty good day and racked up some passing yards. But since then, Maryland has essentially been running the ball all the time. So I think the concern would be if Iowa eliminates that run game, how does Kasim Hill react to actually having to throw the football?
You mentioned the offensive side, but how about the defensive side? That's been a good Maryland defense so far. I think top 20 as far as total defense in the country. So the Terrapin fans got to be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, and it's really a big improvement from last year. I'm pretty sure Maryland was last in the Big Ten in points given up per game. And then this year, they really had some bright spots. There's obviously the Rutgers game, 5 interceptions, which, you know, had all of us in the press box going through record books trying to figure out the last time that had been done. I kind of joked afterward, well, that was how Maryland should have looked against Rutgers. So it's not too much to go crazy about. But again, like, that's a huge positive for the defense coming off a game like that. Rutgers didn't score until the final minute of the game. And you know, no matter who you're playing, keeping a team out of the end zone is something to be proud of. And the defense has improved a lot. And they, you know, the run defense has been really good. And I think they do a good job of giving the offense opportunities to score. But then the offense is kind of hit or miss, too, with being able to efficiently drive down the field. So I think the defense can hold up just fine. It's a matter of if the offense can methodically drive down the field.
It's a pretty big game for Maryland, 4-2 right now. You take a look at the rest of the schedule for the Terps,
yeah.
And to get to 6 and get to a bowl, you know, Ohio State's looming, Penn State's looming, Michigan State's looming. So they want to get to a bowl. This is a big one.
Right. Yeah, no, I was saying that just the other day, and I think it's so early. People are not really thinking that way yet. But this, to me, is a huge game for a bowl because this would almost guarantee it because you have Illinois, Indiana, which are, you know, Illinois is probably winnable and Indiana could be, but if you get to 5 wins and you only need one more, even with that schedule, I think it's doable. And for Maryland, a bowl game is, I mean, that's a pretty good year, especially with the situation going on. You win a bowl game, 7-win season for Matt Canada. I think that'd be a great year for them. But like you said, the rest of the season is Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, and like that's not easy. So I really think this, if Maryland were to somehow win this game, I think that'd be huge for them. And 5-2 start would certainly be great after a 4-win season last year.
What are you most looking forward to seeing at Kinnick Stadium?
Oh, I've never been there, so that's, I'm excited. I've seen a lot about Iowa, and I've heard it's a really great place to watch a game. I wish it was a night game, though, because I've heard those are really cool. And then I know they do the wave, which we were talking about in the Among Us media members the other day. And mm-hmm. So we were all kind of talking about that. That'll be cool to see. Yeah, it looks like a great stadium, though. I'm excited.
There you go. Should be a lot of fun. And looking forward to a fun game as well. And Emily, safe travels. And thank you very much for taking time to talk with us about the Terrapins. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Great to talk Maryland football. Emily Giambalvo joining us from the Washington Post. And a young lady covering the Maryland Terrapins. So Washington Post, one of the great newspapers around in the country. You read it when you were in Washington, D.C., Mark.
I did indeed. And spent 4 months out there.
That's
in
right.
College and I'm very familiar with the Washington Post and what was going on back in the 70s with the Post was at the forefront of that. And I should say they're kind of at the forefront of some things now.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. All right, 3:31. We'll take a break, and we will come back, and we're going to get Chris lined up and ready to go. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. His appearance brought to you by Amon Communications. Get your fantasy football questions ready to go via the text line. You can reach us on the phone lines as well at 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Hey, Amy, did you know the Honda Dream Deal sales event is literally happening right now where you can literally get great deals on certified pre-owned Hondas?
Literally? I don't trust that word anymore ever since my coworker Jerry told me he could literally eat 1,000 burritos.
Well, that's literally impossible, but there is literally a Honda Dream Deal sales event happening right now. And Honda is KBB.com's 2018 best value brand. Seriously.
Now's the time to get a great deal on a certified pre-owned Honda at your local Honda dealer.
Based on 2018 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for information.
On this episode of The World's Shortest Sitcom by KFC. Like I always say, it's the inside that counts. Aww. Like what's inside my new KFC 10-piece chicken feast. It's 10 pieces of chicken, 2 large mashed potatoes, and 4 biscuits for $19.99. Get more meal for the family for under $20. That's what really matters. It's pretty incredible what chicken can teach you about life. Anyways, KFC, it's finger looking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Back with you here in the gym class of KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Our thanks to Emily Giambalvo for joining us from the Washington Post. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have the Emil Sideaway pick six. I will try to do much better than I did last week. And also coming up tomorrow, Dave Kokin, and we're going to talk some Iowa women's soccer as the Hawkeyes have a real good chance to get into the Big Ten soccer tournament as that season is coming to a close. So we will talk with Coach about that coming up tomorrow. You and I held our media day today for men's basketball, and Nick Pateros from the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier, he put out, we told you that Ben Jacobson at the podium talked about the fact that this team's going to be heavily guard-oriented this year. I think you're going to see maybe a smaller post that tries to get up and down. I think you will see the 7-footer in there at times, and you and I will change things up a little bit. But as Nick puts it, A.J. Green, he tweeted this out earlier on, A.J. Green is getting the keys to the car from day one, and there is no doubt about it. And, of course, they'll have a very healthy Wyatt Lowhouse for the entire season, which they have not basically had in Cedar Falls for 2 years.
Yeah, you would hope. Fife is going to be a big component of that team
Austin
as well.
Austin Fife
yeah.
will be big as well. He might be that guy. He can move pretty well for a big player, center, whatnot. So I think that might be really think Lowhouse and Fife are going to be the X factors for this UNI basketball team as we get closer and closer. We're about 2 weeks away from the first games being played in men's college basketball. Is that scary or what? Very much so. Very, very much so. 319-366-1600. That is the Hurtinus Dr. Jewelers text line. And if you would like to weigh in, if you have a question for Chris Liss of rotowire.com, who joins us now. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy football here on KGYM. Also the sponsor of our KGYM knockout pool. That's down to single digits right now for that $500 prize and that terrific, terrific lounge chair. So good luck if you're still alive in that. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Scott?
Not bad. Chalk up another victory for the team over the weekend. It got a little hairy after the two Tyreek Hill long touchdown passes, though.
Yeah, well, at least you pulled out. So you don't have Tyreek Hill. Despite being a Chiefs homer, you don't have shares of Tyreek Hill.
Well, you can't have too many of them. I have Kareem Hunt and I have Travis Kelce, so you can't have too many on one team.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt had a good game, too.
Yes. Yes, very much so. That pass that he brought down was big.
As usual, the text rolling in for you, Chris. First question, needs two running backs, Mixon, Michelle, or Ingram?
I would go Mixon and Michelle, but Ingram, Michelle is very close.
Half-point PPR needs to pick two, Cohen, Lamar Miller, Chris Thompson, assuming he's healthy, and Taylor Gabriel.
Cohen and, man, that is tough. Cohen and Taylor Gabriel.
Okay, Sean would like to ask, a PPR league needs one of the following, Albert Wilson, Sanu, Lamar Miller, Javarius Allen.
I'd probably go Albert Wilson in this case because Sanu is banged up. Not even sure he's going to play. Plus, it's a Monday night game, and you're going to have a problem waiting. So go with Wilson.
Albert Wilson, former Chief, by the way. PPR league, would you rather pick up Chester Rogers or Christian Kirk?
That's close, too. I think Kirk, because I think when T.Y. Hilton comes back, Rogers is going to get downgraded.
From the 314 area code, half point PPR league in a flex, Chris Godwin, Corey Clement, or Willie Snead, also Kittle or Ingram at tight end.
Chris Godwin, Corey Clement, or Ingram. I'd probably go Ingram. And then who are the tight ends?
No, the
tight ends were Ingram and Kittle.
Godwin, Clement, or Snead.
Oh, Godwin, Clement, or Snead. I think I'll go Godwin there. And then Ingram or Kittle?
Yes.
I'd probably go, man, if Ingram's help, you're not going to know until Monday. I'd probably play Kittle. Unless you know for sure by the time you have to make the decision on Kittle that Ingram's healthy, go Kittle.
Need one in the non-PPR. Ingram, Dalvin Cook, Smallwood, Burton, or Kittle? I'm sorry, the first three, second part of the question, Burton or Kittle?
Oh, I would go Burton maybe, but what's the first one?
Ingram, Cook, Dalvin Cook, or Smallwood?
I would go Mark Ingram. Cook is, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. 48-15 is in a PPR as well. John Brown or Marquise Goodwin?
They're kind of the same player, but I'm going to go John Brown against the Saints.
Two questions in a standard league, Kenyon Johnson or Chris Thompson?
Probably Kerryon Johnson or Chris Thompson. I would go Kerryon Johnson in a standard.
And Njoku or Burton at tight end?
I'd go Njoku.
Chrysalis joining us here in 82-58. Pick up Mac Barber or Ito Smith in a standard league?
I'll say Mac since he has the job. Barber does too, but they don't run as well. I'm curious about Mac. I'll go Mac.
1250 up in the Dubuque area, 563 area code. What do I do with James Conner? Cross my fingers, Bell doesn't show up.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
He's been good.
He's been great. He's been really good. I mean, I think Bell is a better receiver, and he's probably better, but you know, it's not like an important, you know, if you're the Steelers, what do you really care at this point?
Yeah.
He's done the job.
Jack in Central City, Burton or Olsen at tight end?
Probably Burton. The thing about Olsen, I have him in one league, but I keep thinking he's just going to, you know, he's going to catch that pass, put his foot down wrong, and walk off the field. So I need to see a few games before I trust him again.
708 area code, is Humphreys taking snaps from Jackson?
I haven't looked at all the snap counts and, more importantly, like who's on the field, you know, with each other. But, yes, I mean, they split. There were five receivers on the Bucs last week that had between 56 and 82 yards, and that is not good for fantasy. That means nobody's getting all the targets, and so yes, the answer is probably yes.
Same listener needs to pick two: Corey Davis, Kuti, or LaShawn Jackson.
I guess I'll sit Kuti against the Jaguars.
1455 Vikings or Colts defense?
By the way, I found out after mispronouncing it 10 times myself that it's QT.
QT. QT, okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what's the next one?
Vikings or Colts defense?
I will take the Colts.
He's a QT. So, let's see, 68-12. Dak Prescott or Jared Goff?
I would go Goff, even though Goff, I have to go Goff.
And Collinwood has a question for you about a trade, possible trade in his PPR league. Emmanuel Sanders for one of these, I guess, Joe Mixon / Breda or Michelle.
I would do that for either one, especially for Joe Mixon.
I would too. I would too. Oh, he says pick one, it said. Yeah. It continues. Pick pick one of those guys.
I get Joe Mixon.
85-93, Flacco, Deshaun Watson, or Phillip Rivers in a standard league?
Flacco, Watson, or Rivers. I might go Flacco home against the Saints.
Hmm.
You could go Rivers against the Titans, but it's in, I mean, the London game is such a wild card. It could be muddy and rainy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Chargers, they started in L.A. and they went to Cleveland last week. I think they're staying in Cleveland before going to London. They're not even going to go back home because you can't fly back to L.A. and then to London.
Correct. I think you're right. I think you're right. By the way, speaking of the Chargers, Melvin Gordon is having a heck of a year.
Yeah, he was a late first-round pick in most leagues, and he's now like my number four overall player. So, I mean, he's a monster, and he gets the workload every week. He's on a good team, and there's really nothing catches passes. He does it all.
1287, Goff or Luck?
I have to go Goff.
Thing about Luck, though, is they get behind, and he's got to throw 50 times a game.
But he's playing the Bills, and the Bills are honestly, they're just a death sentence for your fantasy passing game because they're a really good defense, and they generate no offense. So, you know, the they beat the Titans 13-12. They lost, what did they lose, like 23-16, but it was only because the Texans got a pick six. So offensively, the Texans scored 16 points. If you want to get an under, you know, the Bills are like the unders, the king of the unders.
Yeah, that are the Ravens, yeah. 0909, Olsen or Kittle?
I'll go Kittle. Just, again, I need to see Olsen do it a couple weeks before I trust him.
I want to ask you, what do you think about C.J. Beathard?
You know, I mean, he was pretty bad last year in his first go-round, but he's looked bad at times this year. He looked good to me against Green Bay. They should have won that game. And the Niners actually looked better than the Packers at Lambeau Field. It was just Aaron Rodgers bailed him out and Beathard threw that one bad pick. It wasn't even that bad. It was third down. But, you know, he shouldn't have done it. I think it's a long shot that he's going to be a good NFL QB, but I think there's a good chance that he's a high-quality backup with a career of 5 or 10 years, and he could be a Gus Frerotte or someone like that that, you know, gets some starting chance for 8 games somewhere and backs up somewhere else and has a full career of it.
It's our poll question yesterday, and I think you nailed the majority of our voters. Serviceable backup.
Yeah, like a good, you know, he's got a career ahead of him. He's not going to be out of the league in 2 years.
There's worse jobs.
Oh, there's way worse jobs.
I was defending Eli, though. A lot of people are saying the Giants could take him and put him ahead of Eli, but Eli has no line, man.
Don't defend Eli, Scott. I watch every Giant. He's awful. He is terrible. With the line, you know, if, you know, when rushers get through, it happens. You'll see Brady kind of, you know, shuffle in the pocket, step up a step, get rid of the ball quickly. Breeze will roll out just outside the hash and throw it just past the line of scrimmage out of bounds, 2nd and 10. Eli just, he's such a deer in headlights, and he has no pocket awareness, and he spins the wrong way and goes 4 or 5 yards. He had 5 sacks for 59 yards one game. Who takes 10-yard sacks except a running quarterback? Cam Newton could take a 10-yard sack because he might maybe escape and throw a touchdown. Eli is taking a 10-yard sack for no reason. He should be diving forward as soon as the pocket collapses or stepping up. He's beyond done. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but and I've seen this act for 5 years, and I'm tired of it. They need to get rid of that guy. I don't know who he has photos of in the organization or something. I don't know who he's got, you know, the goods on, because any rational organization would have cut the cord 4 years ago.
Now Beckham's talking and Mara's talking, and this is the makings of a dumpster fire, really.
Well, you know, Mara should just keep his trap shut, because that guy, you know, he inherits a team, and now he's just faking it. He doesn't know anything about football. Why would he say something to Beckham? I mean, Beckham is speaking the truth. Eli is just knocking him the ball down the field. Beckham catches these hospital balls, a foot over his head, makes an amazing play to get like 5 yards extra, and Eli just cannot throw a good ball. Even the balls that, like, you know, he gets a catch, it's like behind him or too high. It's a joke, and Eli would be out of the league right now if Beckham weren't on the Giants. I mean, he's basically boosted his stats from absolutely obvious cut to borderline serviceable scrub, and now he's below that even with Beckham and Barkley. And the best thing the Giants could do is cut the cord, You know, if they had traded for, you know, anybody, Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor, anybody with a pulse, it would have been a much better move than sticking with Eli.
He's damaged all Hall of Fame chances then.
I think he'll get in because of the name, because two Super Bowls. And Eli's sixth all-time in passing yards.
Yeah.
I mean, when you don't get hurt since 2004 and play every game except one, the one good thing Ben McAdoo did was bench Manning. The only smart thing he did in his whole tenure, and that's what he got fired for. The one good thing he did, because John Mara doesn't know anything. I actually think that, that Eli is going to get in, though, because he's sixth all-time in passing yards in his two Super Bowls. There's no way they're not going to let him in.
82-58 on the text line. Beathard or Alex Smith?
That is ugly, but I will say Beathard. Cowboys are tough defense.
93-55, I need two of these. Brandon Cooks, DeSean Jackson, or Smallwood in a standard league?
I'll go with the two receivers.
Okay.
All right. There you go. I'm sorry. I got you fired up, man.
You don't understand. I've been ranting about Eli for years now, but this week, just John Mara. I mean, just you have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, that guy, John Mara, that guy really, really chaps my hide.
You sound like me after I realized there was zero penalties in the Patriots the other night.
Or punts.
Well, Chiefs only punted once.
Yeah. Did you catch Machado last night? I know it doesn't have any impact on fantasy, but
I heard the whole there's a dust up, but like I'm so out of baseball, I didn't even see. What did he do? Everyone was saying what a bad guy he is. What did he do?
Pretty much kicked Aguilar as he crossed first base.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Tell us a little bit more about what you guys have at rotowire.com and so people can check that out and get more information.
Yeah, all your start sit questions that you ask on this segment, if you enjoy it, you can get them all answered at rotowire.com/trial, totally for free for 10 days. You don't need a credit card. And everything's ranked, the quarterbacks, the running backs, receivers, tight ends. And so you can see, hey, do I start number 14 or number 12? Well, number 12. So that's all laid out. Of course, we have NBA, which kicked off last night, and you can check that out as well. Rotowire.com/trial.
Real quick, Chris, did the Giants make a mistake taking Barkley instead of a quarterback?
No, I didn't.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love Barkley. I'm so happy he's on the Giants. He's so good. But, you know, I think if you felt that Darnold or one of those other guys, which I don't, but I'm not some college expert anyway, but if you felt that one of those guys was truly a generational prospect, a quarterback, you have to take the quarterback. If you think he's Andrew Luck coming out or Manning, or not Eli, but Peyton, or, you know, somebody like that, that you're like, this is a guy we cannot pass up, then of course you take the quarterback. And maybe Mayfield's that guy. I mean, Mayfield looks like he's really good. But if it's just the best guy available in his class that's on the board, and you've got a generational running back who's a huge weapon in the passing game, don't do it. Take Saquon Barkley. You can find a quarterback.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a quarterback next year that the Giants can grab. So.
Well, this guy, Bridgewater and Tyrod Taylor, are basically free. You know, so you can get a guy who can hold down the fort for free almost.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Chris, appreciate it. Enjoy the football. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. And always good to talk fantasy sports, fantasy football, especially with Chris. We'll take a break, come back, update you on the poll question, get to Bowling Night in America preview as well in just a little bit.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through DuPaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that DuPaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at dupaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
On Sunday, take the dog for a run. Play outside with the kids. Don't spend it on a car lot because you think it's the only day of the week you can look around in peace. At Brown's West Branch, you can explore their lot unbothered every day. Sundays are for family, not for dodging salespeople. It's safe to browse at Brown's West Branch, so wander the lot of Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, along with a nice selection of used vehicles, comfortably any day of the week. And just because Brown's West Branch believes in low pressure doesn't mean they don't have great deals. Right now, Brown's has new 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokees at over $6,500 off MSRP, or 2018 Grand Caravans priced at $26,690. That's $5,750 off MSRP. See dealer for details. Get to the low-pressure zone at Brown's West Branch, just off I-80 at the West Branch exit, part of the Brown's family of dealerships. See them online at 4browns.com.
Coors Light, established in 1978 and born in the Rockies, where the only thing more refreshing than your current adventure is what's next. It's why Coors Light is lagered cold for a lighter, crisper taste. Filtered gold to ensure brilliance, clarity, and brightness. And packaged gold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve nothing less than the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Light. 2018 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. They'll keep you updated on Game 5, pivotal Game 5 between the Brewers and the Dodgers. And we'll see if any. I don't think there's going to be any retaliation today for the reasons we talked about earlier on. You just can't.
I'd be surprised.
You just cannot. You just cannot have something like that happen and then risk a suspension in later play.
I got to believe the umpires will have a conversation with the two managers beforehand, say, listen, we're aware of it. Probably wasn't a good look, but let's play ball tonight.
Game 4 between the Astros and the Red Sox coming up tonight in Houston. And Houston panicking a little, Mark? Maybe? A.J. Hinch, major lineup changes. Jose Altuve stays at DH for the first time in over 2 years. George Springer not batting leadoff for the Houston Astros. Alex Bregman moves into the leadoff spot for Houston.
May not be a bad move.
Yeah, but why are you doing the playoffs? That's my question.
Hinch has a hunch.
Very good. Apparently he does. So, yeah, different person at the top of the order. I think Alex Bregman is the most underrated player in baseball. I really do.
God, he's a good third baseman.
Just some of those plays he made defensively. And not to mention his bat. He is just outstanding over there. So we've got Game 4 tonight between the Astros and the Red Sox tonight, 7 o'clock on all three frequencies. We've got bowling tonight. We'll be watching the Game 4.
We do indeed. There's been a call to the bullpen, and I told you at the start of the season I was on a pitch count, limited schedule, but circumstances being what they are.
You're on.
On only less than 2 weeks rest, only 1 week off. I'm back in the lineup. See if the right-hander can. Don't count on me being a Josh Hader tonight, okay?
You're going to be fine.
I'll try to get it over the boards and help out a little bit. 19-20 tonight, we face our pals from the Union Station. Win or lose, it should be a good night. Rusty Nails, 13-11, tied for sixth. And the adult Evergreen League.
And the mature Evergreen League. And we'll have a complete report coming on that tomorrow. We will have the pick six. We'll have Dave Koken. We'll talk some Iowa women's soccer as well. So join us for the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Enjoy the baseball. Should be interesting pair of games coming up. Coming up, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
McDonald's presents Dylan McWilliams, possibly the unluckiest person in America.
I was attacked by a shark.